Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, in this place. We don't take it for granted. Thank you for the covering of our fathers that makes the sweet presence available. Lord, we worship. We pledge. We consecrate ourselves to you afresh. So go into this time of sharing your word. Lord, we look to you afresh. As a servant looks to his master, as a maid to her mistress, we ask for mercy. Fresh mercy and unction from the throne. Upon me, my heart, and upon my lips. So I will speak as an oracle of God, and that your word will come out of me like a stream of living water, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds more illuminated, revelation light and knowledge from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so we might be doers of the word and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the same unction and anointing that's upon the ears and the hearts of all of my brethren. And they will receive this word with the same unction with which it is delivered, Lord, causing, Lord, every weak knees, our feeble knees to be strengthened, every hand that is hung down to be lifted up, helping us, Lord, to walk and leap, Lord, into the fullness of all that you have set before us with a spirit of joy, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth under the covenant of our fathers, let yokes be broken, let blind eyes be opened, let deaf ears be unstopped, let the lame leap as a hart, let the tongue of the dumb sing for joy, in Jesus' name. I ask for mercy to be faithful, help me to be concise and to be precise, saying only what you would have me say, so that, Lord, I will bring forth this word as a pure vessel, all of you and none of me, to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Once again, it is a great privilege for me to share the word, bring the word this afternoon. I do so with the permission of my parents and with their blessing. And I'm trusting God for mercy that they will see the travail of their soul as this word goes forth. And indeed, they will be satisfied and refreshed in Jesus' name. I also pray that you also, my brethren, will be refreshed in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this message is Becoming God's Special Vessel. Becoming God's Special Vessel. And you know, those songs that the choir chose to take us into the presence of the Lord are very striking. When Moses and the children of Israel were at Sinai, their appearance was terrible. There was thunderings, lightning, voices. And Moses said, don't worry, let's just come near. They said, we'll have none of it. You go. Whatever he says, come and tell us. And the Bible says that their decision to limit themselves and how far they went close to God caused them to know only God's acts and not to know God's ways. So when they got to difficult places, they always murmured. They always grumbled. Put it this way, they always disappointed God. Like we were saying this morning, every time there is a test, God is bragging on you and I. Bragged on Joshua. He bragged on Daniel. He bragged on Job. Sometimes he's disappointed. It is my prayer that we will not disappoint God anymore, that we will bring God joy. And when we come into the hard places, like the Bible says, we'll go through the valley of Baca and we'll come out singing. We will change the valley into a desert, into a pool, by our attitude and our response. That's what God is talking about. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for sons, people who will come all the way into His presence. And so when God was giving me this message, that's the picture that I had in my heart. And it took me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 10. And it says, "For therefore," let's read it together, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." Hallelujah. God is the Savior of all men. He's in the salvation business. He's always been and He always will be. He specializes in saving all men. This tells you that there's general salvation for all men, and then there is special salvation that God keeps for special people. My prayer is that you will get that special salvation in Jesus' name. Salvation is a composite word. It includes being born again, enjoying divine protection, deliverance, healing, prosperity, and perfection. It's an entire spectrum. But many times we limit ourselves to the common sense understanding of salvation, just being born again and enjoying some blessings and enjoying some healing and enjoying some prosperity. And really, you can't please God if you stay there. And so the essence of this message is that God wants you to come closer and closer into the chamber, to be nearer and nearer and nearer, until there's no space between us and God. The Bible says we cleave unto Him. That is what God is looking for. The Amplified says that God is the Savior of all people, especially of those that believe in Him, that recognize Him as the Son of God, and accept Him as Savior and Lord. See, so there's accepting God as Savior and Lord, but then there's recognizing that He's the Son of God. That is why Jesus asked Peter, He said, "Who do you say that I am?" It's not what other people are saying, what do you say? And brethren, this is a time to answer that question. It says, "They that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits." We are in the season of exploits. And to get ready, we need to know our God. Not the general knowledge, the special knowledge. Knowing Him intimately. Alright, so this is what God is talking about. This is not peril and temptation. God has prepared a sure refuge of safety and security. But it's only for those that believe. Especially of those that believe. And my prayer is that you will specially go that extra mile in Jesus' name. So those that believe, God is not the one that determines who gets special. God just predestinates purposes and the conditions. It is us that determine what we get based on our choices. And that's why we're encouraging ourselves this morning to make the right choice. God doesn't respect people. Pastor said something when he was preaching a message last year, it was the end of last year, trusting God. And he said that there is no shortage of power with God. There is only a shortage of faith. That's why he says, especially of them that believe. It means that there is believing and there is believing. There's just believing generally. And then there is really, really believing. And the difference is light. How far you go with the light that God has given you. For example, the three Hebrew boys in Daniel 3:25 refused to bow to other gods, and they got special deliverance. Like the Amplified says in 1 Timothy 4:10, they saw the invisible, but when they got into the fire, He became manifest in their midst, the Son of God. The fourth man in the fire. Special deliverance is available to everybody. But only some people get it. Why? We're going to pay the price to get it. That's what God wants us to do. Amen? That's protection and deliverance. Let me show you another side. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Let's read it. Acts 19, 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Not ordinary miracles, special miracles. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. They took the cloth from Lagos, where they put it on Paul's body, and then they traveled to Abuja with the same handkerchief and put it on his body, and the person was fully healed. That's special. Special. It's by remote. God is available to do it. And when the vagabond Jews, next verse, verse 13, it was an advertisement to the vagabond Jews. When they saw it, they said, if I we too, let's do this. Let's call over. Let's call those that had evil spirits and say, let's do what Paul was doing. That's advertisement. That's going public. So they had to recognize that they didn't have the resources to do it. It beat them up. And then they had to humble themselves. That's not the way to do it. But it was clear advertisement. That's what God is looking for. Exploits. These that know their God. This God is alive. He's about to do the same things again. Joseph did something special. He preserved God's family that was being transformed. He preserved them from famine and allowed them to, he nurtured them, their little ones and their big ones, until they became a whole nation under his watch. It was not spectacular, but it was supernatural. It was special. It was special. Solomon, at the beginning, asked for wisdom to judge God's people. He started on the right path. He veered off. But for that path that he started with, you could tell that God was with him. Because when he asked what he asked for, the things God did, he didn't ask for, God gave him. It was special. And the Bible says that there was no other king like Solomon. The blessings of God are without repentance. But it really determines on us. We must go deeper. Solomon should have gone deeper. But we will go deeper in Jesus' name. There's no turning back. Now, why? Why does God want this for us? Because, brethren, this is what God has written concerning you and concerning me in the volume of the books. We have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Don't let God look for deliverance from another place. Let me be an instrument of that deliverance. Here I am, Lord, send me. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1. We read together. Arise! We didn't say it the way the Bible said it. Arise! Shine! For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Next verse. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Next verse. And the Gentiles, like the vagabond, shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Two sets. The ordinary people and the noble ones. Everybody is coming over to this party. Amen. Next verse. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. He's talking about seeing spiritually. You have to see what God is showing you and see well, like Jeremiah. All they that gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Next verse.
Then thou shalt see. It's talking about seeing again. Light, light, light. It's about light. You will see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea, that's people, shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Our daily rhema for today is entitled Arise and Shine. Pastor's talking there about the hundredfold. The hundred, God wants a generation that will carry the hundredfold. The hundredfold of God on the earth, and then demonstrate it in manifold ways. So that, but the Bible says, the demonstration of the principle of the power, the manifold wisdom of God. To remove the reproach that the name of God has suffered over years, and get him honor, praise, and fame in the earth. So when they mention God, he will be like God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. After they did that, the king proclaimed and said, nobody must say anything against their God. We must change evil decrees by becoming special vessels. That's the will of God for us. By his incredible wisdom and power and miracles. The Bible says we will do greater works. And believe that if you can. Not just physical miracles, we will do intellectual miracles. That what Solomon did will be child's play to what we will do in this generation. We will make the community livable again. That is the will of God for us. Amen. The next reason that we need to, reason why we need to take this seriously, is because the storms we see are Satan's intimidation, intended to make us keep our gaze upon ourselves and not on God. Like mommy has always preached, we are going over to the other side. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Amen. Thank you, mommy, for the scripture. Just dubbed it. No point reinventing the wheel. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. God is saying, let us pass over from General Assembly to Church of the Firstborn. Let us pass over from ordinary life to living like a God upon the earth. Let us pass over from child of God to son of God. Let us pass over. There's another side, and we're very close. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Next verse. And there arose a great storm of wind. That's why the storm arose. To show that, has God said? To question what God has said. To show a different picture of what God has said. A great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ships that it was now full. Verse 38. And it was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? The focus was not on the master, nor on the father's business. The focus was on we. We. And the master did respond. And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. Brother, you need to be exercising your faith now. Every morning, our mommy keeps saying, peace be still. Don't good morning, Jesus. Peace be still. You need to now echo that. Pick it up. I'm beginning to echo that. I'm beginning to speak to your storm. Peace be still. Peace be still. This financial, you know, insolvency, peace be still. So that I can concentrate on the things of God. You have to start speaking to it. Start speaking to whatever it is that Satan is taking away, telling you things about your health, telling you things that this, no, it's not going to happen. You have to say, peace be still. You want the promises you have to inherit? Peace be still. When it comes, not careless and perish, the authority and the power is available. Tap into it with your faith. That's what God is saying. God cares about us. But this is the time to find out those that really care about Him. How much? I know we all care about Him, one way or the other. But to what degree do you care about Him? How far will you go for His will to be done? How far will you go for His purpose to be fulfilled? This is what makes one person special. That's it. And then, in verse, the next reason, we must believe to the saving of our soul and our body. We're not turning back, brethren. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. We are not turning back. But yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Next verse. Now the just shall live by faith. Look at the, if you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Let's just jump there. We're coming back here. Go, just jump there. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written where? In heaven. And to God, the judge of all men, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So if you are a just person, you must live by faith. And the Bible says you will be perfected. You will be perfected. That, you know, you keep holding on to the word of God. And you keep declaring it, and you don't let anything move to the right or to the left. Don't observe the wind, and don't regard the clouds. Hold on to the word. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. 10. Thank you. Right. Next verse, 38. Yes. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We're not drawing back in Jesus' name. Next verse. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Brethren, it is about the saving of our soul. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but does not gain his soul? Therefore, we must put priority on the saving of our soul. And it must show in what you do every day. So you can say to yourself and to God that truly, God, today I moved forward in the saving of my soul. So you are making progress. You're not thinking you're making progress. You can see the progress in you. This is the will of God. You can see the progress in you. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Please give it to me in the Amplified Bible. Let's read together. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also utensils of wood and earthenware, and some for honorable and noble use, and some for menial and ignoble use. Verse 21. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself or herself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble uses, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. Notice what the scripture says. This place is full of contaminating and corrupting influences. And that is why we have to prioritize the things of the spirit, so that we can be sure that we are shielding ourselves from the contamination and the corruption. That's what is everywhere. It's in the very air. It's in the music. It's in the advert. It's in the advert. The ordinary advert you are looking at is there. It's pervasive. It's all there. But the Bible says that we are not of this world. So we can Bible see that, you know, he that in 1 John 5:18, I forget how it says that, No, he that believeth, he keepeth himself. There's a way to keep ourselves. We can keep ourselves from all this contaminating, but that's why God is asking us to do this. Okay? To be vessels. So how do we do this? It's a short word of exhortation. How do we do this? We become disciples. Disciples is taken from the root word discipline, as Pastor often teaches us. And it means that there's a discipline of the Christ life that we labor in and strive for. It's a discipline. Now, the essence of the message really is to inspire and encourage us. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 14. Let's read it together. It says, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. Next verse. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Who's talking about here? Abraham. He's talking about how Father Abraham inherited the promise. God gave him a word. He patiently endured, and God fulfilled the word. Now, we are also heirs of the same promise through Christ. Like the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, we are heirs of the same promise. What is the promise? That we will possess the gates of our enemies. The eye gate, the nose gate, the ear gate. Bottom line, possess your soul and your body. And then cause us to be a blessing so that in us, the nations of the world will be blessed. Those are the two Abrahamic blessings that God gave Abraham. And they apply to us as well. The first one is occupying your soul and your body, saving it. And then through that saved soul and body, you become a superconductor of the fullness of God. So that through you, God can then save the nations and save the heathen and bring in the harvest of the nations through us. Amen. Through his power, through his wisdom. That's what God is doing. Okay? Verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end for all strife. You know, when people want to, when there's an issue in the market, and people want to find out who's selling it, they say, "Oh, yeah, I swear." No, but no, God doesn't swear. But to make you and I understand that he is really set on doing this. He swore, and he looked for something to swear with. He could not swear, because men swear to settle issues. Once you swear, people say, okay, and you've sworn. So anything that happens, anything that happens, and we know that. No, that's how men settle this. But how God, in a way, to get across to us so that we can have a final word on this issue. Next verse, verse 16, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Who are the heirs of promise here? Let me see your hand. Raise that hand. It's talking about you and I. The immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God swore by himself. Next verse. That by two immutable things, the oath and the promise, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge, to lay hold on hope that is set before us. I don't know what it is that Satan is trying to paint. He's painting different things to different people. But God is saying, we have a strong consolation in him. And he's giving us that strong consolation. Next verse. That hope is our strong consolation. Which hope? Hope of perfection and glory. The hope, that's the present hope now. The hope of course, the resurrection, the hope of a glorified body, but the perfection is the one that is front and center right now. Okay? That hope is an anchor for your soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that which is within the veil. The Holy Spirit brings this to my mind right now. When Paul went on a journey, he didn't want to go on the journey. He told the ship and the captain, I said, I perceive this journey is going to be to much damage and hurt. But they didn't agree with him.
and the captain chose to listen to the guard chose to listen to the captain of the ship, you know, than to listen to Paul. So he went on a journey, and immediately Paul started fasting to be able to get God's mind and do what he needed to do, because he knew that this there was something going on. And it did not appear that there was anything wrong. For weeks they were there. By the time it appeared, he had been fasting for 2 weeks. So by the time they now knew that they had a problem, and they had not seen, they did not see the sun for many days, they now wanted to start their fast. That's when they wanted to start their fast. May God have mercy on us. And they wanted to start their fast when the problem has already stood full. It's preemptive. That, thank God for our Father. Let's give God a super clap for our parents. They teach us to fast regularly so that you are always staying on the right key, spiritual key. That's how he even knew that there was a problem in the first place. Amen. A fasted life. But what those people brought to my mind is this, that Paul said that God has given me the life of everybody on the ship. As long as they're on the ship, he has given their life. But some people, it was looking dicey. You know, sometimes circumstances always go contrary to the word. Deliberately. So that, you know, you have to be sure what you believe, what you really believe. That's what God is talking about today. It's not a big lesson, not a long message. It's not something that you cannot preach yourself. I'm sure you can preach better than this. That's just the truth. But the truth of the matter is that God wants us to grow our faith and to walk in obedience and to let our faith be rock solid. Some people saw, so how are we going to get to the land? We are going to, the ship is going to go aground, then the ship will scatter. To a seasoned sailor, that does not make sense. That is very dangerous. We can die. Things can. But that's not. God said that everyone must stay on the ship. So when some people are trying to use style to drop a boat and try to go in the boat, you know, he just told them for telling them, say, can you imagine? You know what it tells us? If you love your life, mommy keeps saying it, if you love your life, you will lose it. If you hate your life, what does that mean? If you don't hate your physical life, if you care so much about what I will eat, what I will drink, what people will think about me, and all those things, and that you don't do the will of God because of that, you are making a dangerous choice. It looks reasonable, but it's dangerous. Particularly when you have people with you, your family. It's very important. So Paul told them and said they have to wait on the ship. So they let the boat go reluctantly. But to the glory of God, everybody got to the land, holding on to pieces of wood. The word came to pass. They got to the other side. All of them. And if anybody had tried to save their life, they would have lost it. That's what God is saying. God is saying it is a season of obedience to instruction. And stay with instruction, stay with the word. Amen. So we know, disciples. So disciples follow after the discipline. Alright? And that's why he said in 1 Timothy verse 4 and verse 10, he says, for this we labor and suffer reproach. So there's labor and there's reproach. But now reproach is going to change to honor. The Bible says, them that seek for glory, honor, and immortality. When the glory appears, what used to be reproach will turn to honor. It's just temporary. Always understand it. Just understand it's temporary. This whole game is going to change. You know, it's like, you know, a soccer game. When they've been scoring and then just make one or two substitutions. And the whole game changes. God is substituting things now.
the nature in the body is being substituted with the divine nature. It's a key substitution, because substitutions are allowed in a game. And then the game will change. That's how come a prophet can outrun a chariot. Yes, so he said, go and prepare for rain. And the man has been on the journey since. And the man waited behind and prayed. And what do you see? Nothing. Prayed until he said, until the seventh time, what do you see? I see a cloud like a man's hand. At that point, he now starts running and he outruns the person. The husbandman that labored will be partaker. That scripture that says the plowman will overtake the reaper. There is overtaking in this thing. You will turn it around. When they came and they took David's wife and children and all the men, all that, it looked like a desolate thing. He went to God. God said, pursue, overtake, you will recover all. It's the same thing. This thing has happened over and over again. But there were some people, and when they said we should go and pursue, they were faint. Brethren, we must not be faint. That's what God is saying about our faith. Don't be faint. Don't be tired. Put in what you need to do. Pray when you need to pray. Prioritize it. Wake up early. Early. And there's no disturbance. Amen. So the instructions are the same. One is that we make God top priority. And we keep him top priority. Luke chapter 14 tells us that. Let's look at it. To be a disciple. Yes. He pursued and overtook and recovered all. He recovered it with love. That's how we recovered it. Showing love. Imagine going to getting ready to go to war and expecting to go to war with an army. And then on the way, walking in love. And it's that walking in love that was the real test. That's why, brethren, no matter what you're going through, love is the solution. It's the key that takes you out. Amen. It's going to take us out. Out and over and over. And when you get over that persecution, you get promoted. You get some blessing. Then another one comes. So you go from blessing to blessing. Amen. And Satan just pushes you up to get higher blessing. Amen. But so how do we labor? Number one, we labor in the life of God. Amen. We need to understand that. Labor in the life of God. How do we do that? We choose the fear of God. Amen. Bible says the fear of God, it's the beginning of wisdom. It tendeth to life. Okay. So choose the fear of God as a choice. So we pray those prayers. Choose to fear God. You say, when you do those things, it's a labor. You say the words, and then you pray in the spirit once every 6 hours. Very important that we do that. You labor in life. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. Proverbs 10, 20. The tongue of the just shall live by faith. So the just is using his tongue. He's using his tongue for something. That's why he's classified as just. He's as what? Choice silver. But the heart of the wicked, the one that is not doing it, wicked is this, he did not do the instruction. That's wicked. It's of little worth. As you pray those prayers, you are changing the quality of your heart. I'm changing the quality of my heart. So we need to understand what we do. So you don't let, I'm feeling tired. God, leadership, I have done too. Just please, let me take it like that. Don't take it like that. Do it. Because as you're doing it, you are changing the texture of your heart. Amen. We labor in the word. And this is very important. Labor in the word is talking about confessing the word. It's talking about meditating the word. It's talking about Bible reading. It's talking about listening to apostolic and prophetic word. But what I want to bring out and emphasize here is that you must hide the word of God in our heart. Amen. What do I mean by this? I mean that look at the areas that the devil... Okay, let me just say, pride. All of us have pride. All of us have pride. Look at pride and find, you can see the operation of pride in our lives. So find the word about pride. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and from verse 5, okay, and then begin. You begin, it's a project, and you begin to say it and pray it. It's apart from all that you are doing. It's a project. I hold on to this, and he said, this heart, you are not going to be proud. Not while I can. This is where I'm going, the way Jesus was. I make myself of no reputation. I make myself of a servant. I serve those that are my colleagues. I say it. Because that's what Jesus was doing. He was serving his colleagues as if his life depended on it. That's what that scripture is saying. So you begin to pray it and say it, and you say it frequently. You say it so that it is in your heart. Then when the test comes, it's there. You just sidestep it and pass the test. That's what it means. It's not just doing. Yes, there is doing what we've been asked to do. But there's some areas where, you know, there's some medicine, you know, depending on how sick you are. You say take it 3 times a day. Eh? You say take 2 tablets 3 times a day. Depending on how well you can say 1 tablet 3 times a day. And you say that's the 1 at night. What are they doing? They are judging the dose with the severity of the problem. Some of us, pride. In Jesus' name, we have life. Let's just leave it like that. Some of us is anger. Take off your shokoto and wear the same shokoto with this anger. I'm going to dominate you in this season. You are not going to embarrass me. You are not going to shame me. I'm going to flush you out. And that dimension, you hide the word in your heart. You hide the wind, and when God shows another one, so you walk on it and you sit on top of it, then you become special. Even you will be surprised when you go through the years will be say, Lord, you can ask me, and we haven't gotten anywhere. But I mean, from disappointment, at least now you can say, God is having mercy. But you have to be aggressive. Violent, take it by force. I'm going to agree. You're not keeping up appearances. It's not what men think about you. Bible says, them that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. You kill it. We kill it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Let's look at it. Give it to me in the Message Bible. 24, 25, 26. Galatians 5. 24, 25, 26. Message. Among those who belong to Christ. I can't hear you, brethren. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is what killed off for good, in other words, crucified. Next verse. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, how many people have chosen this life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads, hello, or as a sentiment in our hearts, hello, but work out its implication in every detail of our lives. That's what God is talking about. Next verse. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. You are an original. Why do you want to be a photocopy of somebody else? You are only a photocopy of Jesus. And Jesus manifests in you in an original way. But crucify the flesh is distorting that original picture so we can see who you're really supposed to be.
you say. So we labor in the word. Keep the word in your heart. Confess it. Meditate it. Make time for the word, brethren.
You don't have time. You don't have time for anything else. If you don't have time for the word, read it. Go over the daily rhema. It's very important. Go over the sermons. It's very important. Let God talk to you.
Labor in the spirit.
In prayer. Labor in tongues. Labor in the spirit. In travail. Ephesians 6:18, Jude 20. We know those scriptures. You will join Good Morning Jesus. You do both in Good Morning Jesus. We pray in tongues. When the person has been made, you pray in tongues. We're praying along. You know, every joint is supplied. You're praying, you're not sleeping, you're not waiting, you're not. You pray, you listen, prayerfully listening, prayerfully listening. Under your breath, you're praying. Under your breath, you're praying. When it comes time for praying, like Pastor Terry said, you don't unmute late. You are waiting for them to say, until you unmute me. That's the way it should be. You know, unmute. And before they have already unmuted, you're already firing. Rabako shekel, everybody, you enter bass into the prayer. That's how it is. After, we can go and rest. We are not resting during prayer. We rest after prayer. Amen. It's very important. We labor in the spirit, both in travail and in tongues. When labor in tongues, it gives us wisdom. Labor in travail, you birth the Son of God into your mortal flesh. You need both. And then labor in divine love. You get the wisdom for the love from the word of God. Right? That wisdom guides us. And here, it's very important to also mention that we attend church regularly. Both on-site and online. Depending on your circumstances, you can be online, you know, as God permits. But if everything is okay, and no, you need to be on-site. I would say it's much the more so as the city they are approaching, we must be together in the house of God. And surely, brethren, you are a special vessel that is going to demonstrate and carry that fullness of God to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk to God. It's an exhortation. It's reminding us of something we already know, so that we can commit. Not just a notion in our heads, but we work out every detail. Ask God for mercy to help you. Don't condemn yourself. Just ask God to help you. There, ready to help us. Let us rise upon our feet.
Hide your word inside.
Oceans rise and dawn. temptation that's come to try the world. Father, you are in control. The Lord
will be still.
We will be still and know you are God.
Pastor Wale prophetically used that song yesterday in prayer, and I asked his permission. It's a beautiful song. When the enemy comes in like a flood, hide that word in your heart and raise up that standard against him. Let's lift up our hands unto the Lord. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today to encourage me, to open my eyes, to look to the strong consolation that you have prepared for us in this season of pressing in beyond the veil. Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy to be faithful to keep your word, to be a faithful disciple, to labor in life, in your word, in prayer, and in love, to hide your word in my heart, so when the oceans come and the temptation comes, my heart is fixed on your word and I will not be moved in the name of Jesus. So I will believe to the saving of my soul and my body and experience the redemption of my body according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit in faith. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
We will be still and know you are God. We will be still and know you are God.
Father, we thank you so much for that word that came forth, that wonderful word of exhortation. Truly the time has come. Truly indeed, O Lord God, your desire that we hide your word in our hearts. Every temptation, every situation, Lord God, when the oceans rise and the thunders roar, we will not be afraid, because your word is resting in our hearts. We'll rise above by that same word and fulfill, Lord God, all of your will, standing, Lord, even in difficult times, bringing forth your glory. We have this great privilege. We thank you, Lord God. Lord, truly we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Thank you, Lord, because the excellency of it is not of us, but the excellency of you. You will cause us to prevail. We stand in, Lord, in that promise. And so we say, thank you, Lord, for your word that has come today. We say, under the covering of the fathers, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house, may the Lord bless and keep us all. Yes, may the Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. So we're above only and not beneath. And we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do, and are at least 10 times better than our peers in Jesus' name. So we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. And so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure, in Jesus' name. And so the Lord anoints us afresh, the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David and Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. And share the grace. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.